This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. William Shakespeare's Richard III opens with the would-be king uttering these famous lines.
Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this son of York.
The play chronicles Richard III's Machiavellian rise to power and short reign in the 15th century. King Richard III held the throne for only 2 years, but his legacy has captured the British imagination for centuries, first in the play and now in the courts, as evidenced by a lawsuit swirling around the discovery of Richard's remains in 2012. Sam Knight wrote about the battle over where the bones of Richard III should be buried for Prospect magazine and joins us on the phone from London. Sam Knight, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start with the body. Richard III's remains discovered under a parking lot in Leicester, England in 2012, confirmed to be his in February 2013. How did they know it was him?
So it's a funny story, as with a lot of this kind of whole saga, but actually a few years earlier, a different group of scientists had been trying to identify some old bones in Belgium. And because the kind of European royal families were all sort of related back at that time, they did a lot of DNA work around the sort of ruling house in that part of Europe. And one of those relations happened to be very closely related to Richard. So it just happened that they sort of had the DNA on file. So that kind of existed somewhere. And so when they found this body, it was sort of relatively straightforward to look at those bones and then to compare them to a very closely matching set of DNA.
This was not your typical archaeological dig. Who were the players involved with making this happen?
What's actually very important in the lawsuit now was that this wasn't an archaeological dig led by a group of scientists with a theory. The exact location of Richard's remains had been an object of kind of debate and scrutiny for some time. And in 2004, a woman called Philippa Langley, who is a screenwriter and who's very keen to make a big film about Richard III, was doing some research, and so she visited the scene of the Battle of Bosworth, where he died in 1485, and was trying to follow various rumours about where his bones had ended up. And she ended up in this car park in Leicester in the summer of 2004 on the site of an old monastery, where his bones were said to have been left, but then thrown out a couple of hundred years later. But she was walking through this car park, and she described a strange physical sensation came over her body as she went through this car park, and she became convinced that Richard's body had not actually been thrown out, but was still there under this car park. And that sort of led to an amazing 8-year campaign by Philippa, getting in touch with these DNA experts, raising money, hassling the city of Leicester, asking the University of Leicester if they were interested to take it on. And she really knocked on every door you could possibly think of until, in the summer of 2012, funded about 50% by enthusiasts and people like her, and the rest taken up by the University of Leicester and the city. They conducted this very small archaeological dig, which hit pay dirt immediately on exactly the spot where she said that they would find the bones. So there's this amazing streak of enthusiasm and amateurism and, kind of, you hesitate to say the word, but sort of magic has gone into this story for a long time.
It really is an amazing story. And among the passionate that she enlisted were the Richard III Society. Who is the Richard III Society? What is its mission?
I know, it's a real oddity. I don't think I've ever come across a society quite like it, but the Richard III Society was founded in the 1920s in England to restore the reputation of Richard III, which sort of seems like such a quixotic aim for a society. But Richard had got this terrible reputation, a picture kind of that most of us know, at least in this country, from Shakespeare, of this Machiavellian character, happy to murder members of his own family to secure his hold on the English crown, disposing of his wife, his nephews, anyone who gets in his way. Starting in about the 18th century, you store, I don't know, it's hard to describe, disparate group of people who became devoted to trying to restore some balance to that story and to restore Richard's good name, as they saw it. And this led to the forming of this strange society in the 1920s, which has sort of carried on its work in the shadows, really, for, you know, 80 or 90 years, leading research, funding historical research into Richard's reign, trying to achieve what they think of as this more balanced interpretation of the man and his times. Philippa Langley was the Scottish secretary of the Richard III Society.
These are the people also called the Ricardians. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. There's a sort of overlap between the Richard III Society, which is the largest organization of Ricardians, as they call themselves. And a Ricardian is someone who kind of believes that Richard wasn't as bad as everyone made him out to be.
After this kind of miraculous discovery, the trouble starts. So who are the parties vying for his remains, and what do they want done with them?
They find the body in September of 2012, and they spend about the University of Leicester's archaeological department, who've teamed up with the Richard III Society to carry out the dig, then spend about 5 months doing the hard scientific legwork to actually conclude authoritatively that this was Richard III. And I think during this period, there's just this kind of outpouring of joy and excitement. I mean, Richard III really is he's kind of a medieval celebrity, if you know what I mean. People just know him. If you grow up in England, you just grow up at school learning about Richard III. And so there's a kind of disbelief almost that this person who had gone in every physical way was suddenly back in our lives in the form of this skeleton. And it was a very kind of exciting period. It was all over the papers, all over the TV and stuff like that. And then in spring last year, you started to notice some cracks. People within the Ricardian movement had certain hopes. They'd always dreamed of finding Richard again, and now here was an opportunity to give him a full state funeral or to bury him in York, which was the city that he loved and spent a lot of time in during his reign. To be honest, quite romantic notions about what should be done with their hero. And then against that, you had the University of Leicester, who was really the group of very serious scientists and historians who felt strongly and in accordance with rather arcane corners of English law that he should be buried near to where he had been found. And then you had probably about 6 or 7 rival claims from different parts of the country or different groups of people who thought that Richard should end up in different places. Just to give you a few examples, Richard was a Catholic, so should he end up in a Catholic cathedral? His wife was buried at Westminster Abbey, so should he be in London? Should the Queen decide? All sorts of different theories and sort of arguments sprung up in the first half of last year.
This is a heated case right now in the UK. It's made it to the courts. What is actually on trial, Sam?
Well, what it is a new group of Ricardians have sprung up out of nowhere, claiming to be long-lost relatives of Richard III, and they are suing the government for giving the license to the University of Leicester to bury him in Leicester. And they're sort of asking for that decision to be overturned.
So where does public opinion come down on this case? And where do you see the tipping point? What do you think is going to happen?
I think a lot of people in Britain are just sort of waiting for the outcome rather than having a strong feeling on where the exact law lies. But the really interesting thing about Richard III is that he continues to evoke these very deep, almost reflex feelings in people. So one of the important things about Richard is that he's generally talked about as England's last northern king. He spent a great deal of his life and the years before he became king ruling the north of England on behalf of his brother, Edward IV. And there's still a huge fond memory attached to the idea of a king who came from historically Britain's poorer and less advantaged part of the country. So there's a huge affection, a feeling that he's one of us up there and he should come home. Whereas if you go to Leicester, let's say in the Midlands, which is where Richard died, there's more of a feeling of, you know what, you don't always get to choose how you want the story to end. And he died in a battle that he obviously didn't want to die in, but that's the way it ends up sometimes, and we need to reflect this sort of awkward reality of history in the decisions that we make. I think, personally, reporting the story, it was such an unprecedented case. We've never found a king that we lost for 500 years before, I think when we dug up Richard III, people simply didn't know how to act. And officials in the city of Leicester and academics at the university have actually followed procedure as closely as they could all the way through this, and they feel that they shouldn't have to change their plans or really answer to anybody. But the truth is, when you have an event of this importance, I think you do need to just maybe stop and throw it open and talk to people and listen to their views and listen to people like the Ricardians, who have incredibly strong feelings around this man. And in a funny way, I'm not sure the final decision about where he gets buried matters that much, as an opportunity for people to discuss their feelings and to be heard and to sort of, I don't know, take part in this event, which continues to sort of strike a chord with a surprising number of English people.
Sam Knight, I want to thank you for filling us in.
Pleasure.
Sam Knight, a journalist living in London. You can find a link to read his article for Prospect Magazine called Where Should Richard III Lie? On our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Word of Mouth's Rethink 2014 series is nearing its end, but don't fret. All of the conversations and stories are compiled on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. This week, we're going to wind down the series with rethinking the way we talk about and approach death, along with considering some new paradigms for radio. If you like what you heard, please share it with others or continue the conversation on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. We're also on Twitter at Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please do join us for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.